You're listening to the CallToCome.org podcast, reaching the nations to help the bride of Jesus get ready. Now let's listen to today's message with our hosts, Call to Come.
Dear beloved and sanctified bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, may you know his peace, mercy, and joy increasingly more and more as we see his glorious day approaching. Today, we continue our series on the glorious bride with part 5, which I've titled The Unfaithful Wife. As a quick reminder, we began this series by looking at the glorious woman in heaven as seen by John in Revelation 12, verse 1. One principle that we established was that of dual realities, or to say that in some cases, there is an outworking upon the earth of a primary reality of something which is in heaven. The examples we looked at were the tabernacle plans as given to Moses in Hebrews 8:5, those being a copy or shadow of the temple in heaven. Or another example, that of Jerusalem, in which Paul describes as being above in heaven and the mother of us all, Galatians 4:26. And of course, physically, the geographical Jerusalem in Israel, which is also called the city of the great king, Psalm 48, verse 2. So, in the same manner, I suggest that the glorious woman in Revelation 12:1 is also a primary reality in heaven, a sign of which is depicted by the stars and celestial bodies of which John saw, and of which a secondary reality is being formed not in heaven but upon the earth, being developed and fashioned here in the natural realm. And though she is visible, she is not yet fully revealed, for that time has yet to come, although she has been seen by those who knew how to look. And this is what we have been doing in this series, looking for the glorious woman in the biblical account of human history, and in particular, as seen in the formation and development of the people Israel. Last time, we arrived in our story at Mount Sinai, where a marriage contract, or ketubah, had been written out between Father God and Israel, and the covenant entered into. This was the first stage of the marriage, known as the betrothal, or kedushin, and is binding, requiring a divorce, or get, in order to separate. When a man and woman are betrothed to one another, they are also considered to be as husband and wife. Part of the responsibility of the husband was to provide a place for the wife and himself to live, where together they could build a home and enjoy their marriage relationship. But for Israel, where was their home to be? Well, it was in the land occupied by the Canaanites, which the Lord had promised Abraham centuries earlier in Genesis 12, verse 7. But more specifically, the marriage home was represented by the city Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place chosen by God where he and Israel would live together. As a city, Jerusalem, or Zion, was the place that God had chosen for his dwelling place upon the earth. Let's read Psalm 132. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Psalm 132, verse 13 and 14. Jerusalem is also the place that the Lord has promised he will return back to. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the City of Truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts will be called the Holy Mountain. Zechariah 8, verse 3. Now, here is a difficult but important point for us to understand, that Jerusalem is not only a city, but Jerusalem also represents the bride herself. She is both a city and a bride. Revelation 21, 2. There is a dual reality about Jerusalem in which both are true and neither invalidate the other. Jerusalem is both a city and a bride. Look at what Ezekiel writes in chapter 16, describing the Lord's heart and his passion for Jerusalem. When I passed by you again, and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Ezekiel 16, verse 8. Ezekiel writes powerfully about the marriage and the relationship between the Lord and Jerusalem. Ezekiel sees how the Lord knew Jerusalem from birth to maturity, and though she was despised and neglected, how he loved and waited for her. She was to be his bride, and he was willing to give himself completely to her in a marriage covenant. There was nothing Father God would not do for her, and longed for her heart to be as full of love for him as his was for her. This wasn't about need, for our Father needs nothing. He is all-sufficient and complete in perfect existence within the Godhead. Yet his love is inclusive and is full of expression. He was zealous over Jerusalem and bestowed riches and prosperity upon her. He adorned her with gold and silver and fine linen, silk, embroidered cloth. He provided for her every need. She was like a choice vine planted on a fruitful hill. Isaiah 5, verse 1 and 2. But tragically, the marriage was not a happy one. And despite repeated appeals from the many prophets whom the Lord sent to warn them time and again, Jerusalem and Israel persisted in her idolatry of other gods and harlotry with other nations. You are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband, Ezekiel writes in chapter 16, verse 32. What of that of the vine? Where is the vine now in our story? Isaiah writes, and now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled upon. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they do not rain upon it. Isaiah 5, verse 5 and 6. The Bible records the tragedy that unfolded. How the Israelite nation divided into two kingdoms. And despite many warnings from the prophets, the northern kingdom did not repent and were eventually taken by the Assyrians into captivity, where they largely disappeared out of human view. Then even the southern kingdom of Judah was finally taken captive by the Babylonians and Jerusalem destroyed. But upon the return of the exiles, 70 years later, and the rebuilding of the temple and the city that followed, it was clear that things were not the same as they had been before. And there was an expectation that one day a Messiah would come. The consolation of Israel, in whom all her hopes were placed for the restoration of the kingdom and freedom from her oppressors. 400 years would pass, and then, far, far away, not in Jerusalem, but many miles to the east, a band of magi caught the next glimpse of the glorious woman in Revelation 12, depicted by the stars in the night sky. For these men had knowledge of the stars and how to interpret the signs written there by God in the heavens. And what they saw was the star of one born King of the Jews. Or as John sees in Revelation 12, verse 2, this woman was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Our foundation for the glorious bride is now set. The question that we are left with is, how is it possible for God and man to be made one, as in a marriage relationship? What is it that must take place to turn tragedy into joy and sorrow into dancing? We will answer these questions beginning next time. Maranatha.